שביעי. וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, צו את בני ישראל, command בני ישראל, ויקחו אליך, and they should take to you, שמן זית זך, pure olive oil, כוסס פרסת, למאור, for the light of the menorah. The way one gets pure olive oil is by pressing out the first drop. L'halois ner tamid, in order to light, the ner tamid, the lamp that was consistently lit every night. Where was the menorah located? Zok the pasuk michutz la paroiches, outside the paroiches, on the other side of the curtain. Ha'edus, the paroiches which was before the aron ha'edus. The aron was called the aron ha'edus because it had inside of it the luchais, which were a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs that were written on it. Ba'oil mayed, in the oil mayed, yarech oisei aron. Aaron should arrange these lamps, me'erevat boker, with enough oil to burn from evening until morning, which Chazal tell us is a chatzi lug, one half of a lug for each lamp, lefnei Hashem tamid, before Hashem, consistently every night, chukas olam ladoriseichem, a decree forever for your generations. Al ha-menorah ha-tahara, on the pure menorah, yarech es ha-neros, he shall arrange the neros, lefnei Hashem tamid, before Hashem, consistently. What does it mean, the pure menorah, menorah ha-tahara? Rashi says tupshatim, either because the menorah was made of pure gold, or because you should light the neros al ha-menorah ha-tahara, on the clean menorah. After you already cleaned out the ashes from the previous night's neros, then you are allowed to light the following day's neros. Ramban asks, why over here in Parshas Emor does the pasuk say in pasuk Gimel, Yarech Oisei Aaron? Aaron should arrange the neros. Aaron will light the neros, as opposed to Parshas Tetzaveh, where over there the pasuk says Yarech Oisei Aaron Uvonov, that Aaron and his children may light the neros. Why does the Torah change the lashon? Ramban answers that although a kohen hedjut may light the menorah, the Torah wanted Aaron to be maschil to start the lighting of the neros. Therefore, over here in Parshas Emor, the Torah says Aaron to tell us that Aaron should be the one to start it. The Ayin also in Torah's Kohanim, who is Medayek, why the pasuk says three times Tomid in this parsha. The first time in pasuk Beis, the second time in pasuk Gimel, and a third time in pasuk Dalet. He answers, the first Tomid is telling us that the menorah must be lit consistently every night. The second Tomid tells us even b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, we light the menorah. And the third Tumah tells us that even b'tumah, even in a state of tumah, we will light the menorah. The Ayin Balaturim, Machzor Vitri, and Reb Chaim Paltiel, who all discuss the connection between the parashiyos over here. Why does the Torah place the parasha of Sukkos next to the parasha of the Shemen Zayas and lighting the menorah? And they answer, this is to tell us that the Yontif of Sukkos should be followed by the Yontif of Chanukah, which is the Yontif of Neros. We know there is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how to light the neros on Chanukah. According to Beis Shammai, we say poiches v'hoilech. We light eight lamps, eight neros on the first night, and every night we light one less. According to Beis Hillel, we are meisav v'hoilech. We light one ner the first night, and we add one ner on each of the following nights. We are meisav v'hoilech. We add as we go. An allusion to this, Zok de Balaturim, is that in Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says Ner. But in Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says Nerois. This is telling us, the first night, all we light is Ner, one Ner. But on all the other nights, we light Nerois, many Nerois. An allusion to the Beis Hillel, who holds Moisef Vahilech. And they explain further that the next parasha is the parasha of the Lechem HaPonim, the loaves of bread that were placed on the Shulchan, and this is an allusion to the Yontif of Purim, where we have a Sudas Purim, a Suda on Purim, with bread. The parasha after that is the parasha of the Mekalel, the one who cursed Hashem. He was Chayev Misa and was stoned, and we know Kol HaNiskolim Nitlin, any person that is stoned is hung, and this is an allusion to Haman, who was hung by the Yontif of Purim. Pasuk Beis Rashi, Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Bnei Yisrael. Rashi is bothered why we need this whole parsha in Parshas Emor to tell us that you should take pure olive oil and light the menorah. This was all stated already in Parshas Tetzaveh. Zot Rashi, Zu Parshas Mitzvos HaNeiros. This is the main parsha, the main commandment to make the oil for the menorah. Uparshas Va'ata Tetzaveh Lo Nemra Ela Al Seder Melechus HaMishkon. And in Parshas Va'ata Tetzaveh, it was only mentioned because the Torah over there was talking about the tzivoy of building the Mishkan and making the menorah. So the Torah wants to tell you, what is the purpose of this menorah? Lefarish Tzorech HaMenorah, to explain what the purpose of the menorah is. The purpose of the menorah is because eventually you will be commanded to make oil, and this oil will be placed on the menorah and you will light it. That is the purpose of the menorah. V'chein mashma, and so is the meaning of the pasuk vi'ato tetzaveh, vi'ato soifcho letzaveh yisesh b'nei Yisrael al-kach. In the future, you will command the Bnei Yisrael to make Shemen Zayis. And this commandment is over here in Parshas Emor. Because the simple meaning of Va'ata Tetzaveh is, and you shall command the Bnei Yisrael. If that's the case, we have two commandments to make the Shemen Zayis. Once in Parshas Tetzaveh, and a second time in Parshas Emor. Therefore, Rashi tells us, the pasuk of Va'ata Tetzaveh does not mean you should command the Bnei Yisrael, but rather, in the future, you will command the Bnei Yisrael. And the reason why he says it over there is only because he wants to tell us the purpose of the menorah. Zok Rashi, Shemen Zayis Zoch, you may only use for the menorah pure olive oil. Shloisha Shmonim Yoitzim in Azayis. There are three oils that come out from an olive. Harishon, the first drop, Kari Zoch, is called pure. Vehein Mufaroshin, and these three ways of taking out the oil are explained, B'menochois, Uvetaris Kehanim, in Mesechta Menochois, and in Taris Kehanim. Over there, Menochois, the Gemara says that oil is extracted from the olive in three consecutive methods. First, it is crushed in a mortar, then it is pressed with a beam, and then it is ground. The pasuk is telling us that only the first drop, which comes out when it is crushed in a mortar, is allowed to be used for the menorah. Zok Rashi Tamid. Rashi tells us that the word Tamid does not mean constantly, that the neighbors were constantly burning, but rather Tamid means consistently. On a daily basis it was lit. Milayla lalayla, every night it was lit, and that's why it can be called Tamid. K'may Oilas Tamid, she'enoy ela miyoyim liyoyim. Just like the carbon oila that was brought every day, the Torah calls Tamid because it was consistently brought on a daily basis. Zok Rashi leparoiches ha'edus, the menorah was placed outside the paroiches, which was before the Oren ha'edus. Shelefnei ha'oren shu kari edus, it was placed before the Oren, which was called edus because it had the luchos inside that were a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. That is the first pshat in Rashi. V'rabbeinu darshu, our rabbanim explained the pasuk differently. Al ner maravi, it is referring to the western lamp. Shehu edus l'chol boya oilam, that was a testimony to the whole world, Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael, that the Shechina dwelled among Klal Yisrael, Shenoisim Boshemen Kimides Chavreisel, because oil was placed in the Ner Maravi, equivalent to all the other lamps. Umimena Hoya Maschil, he would light the Ner Maravi first. Ubo Hoya Messiahim, and the Ner Maravi was the last one to go out. Even though it had the same amount of oil and was lit first, still it burned the longest. This was a testimony to all of Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shekhinah among the Yidden. And this is the pshat in the pasuk, Michutz l'Paroiches, outside the curtain, on the other side of the curtain, in the Yoel Moed, Ha'edus is a testimony for Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shere his Shekhinah among the Yidden, because there is the Ner Maravi on the menorah that burns longer than the rest of the Neros, even though it had the same amount of oil. Which Ner is called the Ner Maravi? That is dependent on how we learn the menorah was situated in the Yoel Moed. If you learn the menorah was situated from east to west, which means it was perpendicular to the Paroiches, then the Ner Maravi was the second lamp from the east. When one entered the Oel Moed, the first lamp he bumped into was the Ner Mizrahi, and the second one was called the Ner Maravi, and that was the one that burned longer than the rest of the lamps. But if you learn the menorah was situated from north to south, parallel to the Paroiches, then the Ner Maravi is the middle lamp, because the three lamps to the right and the three lamps to the left, its wicks would all face the middle lamp. But the wick of the middle lamp would face the back of the Mishkan to the Ma'ariv. Therefore, it was referred to as Ner Maravi, and that was the lamp that burned longer than the rest of the lamps. Zok Rashi Yarech Oisei Aaron Me'ervad Boiker. Aaron should arrange enough oil to burn from evening until morning. Yarech Oisei Aricha, he should arrange an arrangement, Haru'uya Lemidas Kol Alayla, that was enough oil to burn a whole night. Mishiyaru Chachomim, and our Chachomim gave it a measurement, Chatzi Lug L'chol Ner V'ner, one half of a lug for each lamp. V'hein Kedai, and this amount is sufficient, Af L'lele Tukufas Teves, even for the long nights in the winter months. Umida zuhu kvolohem, and this measurement was fixed for them, even for the shorter nights in the summer. And if there was leftover oil during those nights, it does not make a difference. Zot Rashi ha-menorah ha-tahara, why is it called the pure menorah? Shehizav tar, it was made out of pure gold. Dover acher, al tahara shel menorah, on the clean menorah. Shemetara umedash natchila mina efer. Before lighting it, they would first clean it out from the previous night's ashes. And the pasuk continues with the parsha of the lechem aponim. V'lokachta soiles, and you shall take fine flour. V'afisa oiso, and you shall bake it. Shteim esrei chalois, into 12 loaves. Shnei esroinim yeh hachalo ha'echos. Each loaf should be 2/10 of an ephah. V'samta oisom, and you shall place them. Shtayim arochos, into 2 stacks. Sheish ha'maroches, 6 loaves per stack. Al shulchan hator, on the pure shulchan lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. Why was the Shulchan called Shulchan Hatar? Rashi brings down 2 pshatim. Either because it was made out of pure gold, just like the menorah, although the menorah was only made out of gold, as opposed to the Shulchan that was made out of Atei Shittim covered with gold. But the covering of gold was made out of pure gold and not mixed with any other metal. Therefore it is called Shulchan Hatar. Rashi tells us a second shot. The reason why it's called Shulchan Hatar is because the loaves were placed directly on the Shulchan. We learned in Parashas Truma concerning the construction of the Shulchan that the Shulchan had boards that were on the sides of the Shulchan, rising way above the Shulchan. These boards were attached together by half pipes, and on these half pipes, the Lechem Aponim were placed in order that each loaf should not lean on the other loaf and get ruined, but rather they should be supported by these half pipes. The pasuk over here is telling us that these half pipes only supported the top 5 loaves of each stack, but the bottom loaf of each stack was placed on the actual shulchan itself. That's why the pasuk says, "Ala shulchan atar," that the first loaf, the bottom loaf of each one, was placed on the actual shulchan. And the pasuk continues, Vinosato ala mareches, and you shall place on each one of the stacks, levoy nozako, a golden spoon that contained inside of it a kemitza of pure levoina, of pure spices. Vahoiso la lechem laskara, and it shall be for the bread as a memorial, ishe lashem, a fire offering to Hashem. Typically by a carbon mincha, a kemitza is taken off the mincha, a scoop of 3 fingers full is taken off the mincha and placed on the mizbeach. That is the memorial of the mincha, Lashem to Hashem, and the rest is eaten by the kohanim. Over here, the pasuk is telling us, what is the memorial for this lechem haponim, which was totally eaten by the kohanim? The memorial, the askara, is the levoina zaka. The kmitza of levoina that was placed on the mizbeach was the memorial for this mincha. And the pasuk continues that the lechem aponim was baked on Friday and was placed b'yom haShabbos yarchenu l'fnei Hashem tamid. Every Shabbos they would place it on the shulchan. Me'es b'nei Yisrael bris olam. This is from the b'nei Yisrael as an eternal covenant, a bris forever. V'hoisa, and this mincha will be l'Aaron u'levonav, for Aaron and his children. V'achalu, and they will eat this bread b'mokon kadosh, in a holy place in the Azara, ki kodesh kadoshim hu, because it is kachay kachim, me'ishi Hashem, from the fire offering of Hashem. They will place the levoina zaka on the fire, and the bread is eaten by the kohanim in the Azara. Chok oilam, an everlasting decree. Zok Rashi Pasuk Vav, Sheish Hamaroches, 6 per stack, Sheish Chalois Hamarocho Ha'achas, 6 loaves per stack. HaShulchan Atar, Shel Zav Tar, the Shulchan was made of pure gold. Dova Acher, Al Tahari Shel Shulchan, on the actual Shulchan. Shelayu HaSnifim Magbin Es Alechem, Me'al Gabi HaShulchan. The boards on the sides of the Shulchan should not lift the bread off the shulchan, and this is referring to the bottom 2 loaves. V'nosata ala maroches, and you shall place on the maroches. Al kol achas mishtei hamarochos, on each one of the 2 stacks, you shall place 1 levoina zaka, 1 golden spoon carrying inside of it a kemitza of levoina zaka. Some have the girsa haray. Haray, shnei bazichei levoina male koimitz l'chol achas. We have 2 spoons of levoina which have a kemitza in each one of them. one spoon for one stack, and the other spoon for the other stack of six. V'hoisa, Rashi is bothered, what is the Lashon Nekeva of V'hoisa, and she will be? Ha'levoina hazois. This levoina, the word levoina, is a Lashon Nekeva in the feminine. La'lechem, for the bread, la'askara, as a memorial. She'ein min alechem le'gavoya klum. Because the bread does not go at all to Hashem on the Mizbeach. Ela ha'levoina nikteres. Only the kmitza of levoina is brought on the Mizbeach. Kishmesalken oisim b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos, when they remove the bread every Shabbos. V'hi l'zikaron la'lechem, and this is a memorial for the bread. Shal yoda hu nizke l'malo. Through this kmitza, it is remembered above in Shemayim. Kikoymet shu askar l'mincha. Just like the kmitza is the memorial for the mincha, the levoina is the memorial for the lechem haponim. Zok Rashi v'hoisa, and she will be la'aron u'levonov. Again, Rashi is bothered by the lashon nekeva, the feminine of she. Zok Rashi ha'mincha hazois. It is referring to this mincha. Mincha is a lashon nekeva. She called davar haba min hatfua bichlal minchahi. Anything that comes from tfua, from crops, is included in mincha, and therefore we can say that the lechem aponim is called a mincha v'hoisa, and she will be the mincha of the lechem aponim la'aron u'levonov. Zok Rashi v'acholuhu, and they will eat him. Now Rashi is bothered what the lashon of him, the lashon zachar, is referring to. Zok Rashi moisev al alechem, it is referring to the bread. Shehu lashon zachar, because lechem, bread, is in the masculine, it is a lashon zachar. And the pasuk is saying like this, v'hoisa, and she will be, the mincha will be la'aron u'levono. V'acholuhu, and they will eat him, they will eat the bread, b'makom kadosh. And the pasuk continues, Vayetze, and he went out. Ben Isha Yisraelis, the son of a Jewish woman. Vehu ben Ish Mitzri, and he was also the son of an Egyptian man. His mother was Jewish. His mother was Shloimis Bas Divri. And his father was an Egyptian. The Egyptian which Moshe killed with the Shem HaMafarish. Like we explained in Parasha Shemois, that Shloimis Bas Divri used to say hello and was friendly to everybody. And therefore the Egyptian took note of her. And one night he entered her tent, kicked her husband out, and was mezana with her. The pasuk now is speaking about the child of this nus, whose mother was Shlemis Bas Divri, and whose father was the Egyptian which Moshe killed. And the pasuk says, B'soich b'nei Yisrael. He went out among the b'nei Yisrael. Rashi tells us, B'soich b'nei Yisrael is teaching us that he was Megayer, he became a Jew. Frek the Ramban, why do we have to say that he was Megayer? He doesn't need to be Megayer. If his mother was Jewish, he is a Jew, even though his father is a Goy. Ramban therefore learns that this Geirus is referring to the Geirus that all of Klal Yisrael went through before Matan Torah. As Rashi says in Perek Chav Dalet in Parashas Mishpatim, that all of Klal Yisrael went through Mila, Tfila, and Artzoas Domim. All of Klal Yisrael had a bris milah when they went out of Mitzrayim. And right before Matan Torah, on the fifth day of Sivan, they all were tovel in a mikvah, and they were sprinkled with the blood of the karbonos that were brought on the fifth day of Sivan. That is the geirus that this person went through. The same geirus that all of Klal Yisrael went through. But a regular geirus, as if he was a guy, he did not need to do, because he was a Jew. Tosfos argues, and he says this person needed a regular geirus, because although we paskin that a child that was born from a Jewish mother is Jewish, that's only after Matan Torah. But before Matan Torah, we go after the father, and since his father was a goy, therefore this person who was born before Matan Torah needed a regular geirus. The pasuk says, Vayetze, and he went out. Rashi is bothered, where did this person go out from? And Rashi brings down three pshatim. Reb Levi says that he went out of this world, since we will see further that he will be mekalel Hashem, he will curse Hashem, and he was chayev misa, so he took himself out of the world by being over this avera. Reb Brachi learns, Vayetze means he took himself out and excluded himself from the previous parasha of the Lechem Aponim. He would laugh at the parasha of Lechem Aponim, saying that typically a king would like fresh warm bread that is one day old, not bread that is 9 days old, because they used to bake the Lechem Aponim on Friday and place it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and it would remain there until the following Shabbos, 9 days after it was baked. Is it covered for Hashem to leave bread that is 9 days old on his shulchan, on his table? And therefore he laughed at the parasha of the Lechem Aponim. The third pshat in Vayetze is that he went out of Moshe's Bezdin Chayiv being guilty because he pitched his tent by Shevet Dun, saying that since his mother was from Shevet Dun, therefore he was allowed to live there. On that, the people from Dun told him, no, it goes after the father Shevet, not the mother Shevet. And since your father is a Goy, you may not stay in this area. They went to Moshe, and he came out guilty from Moshe's Bezdin. Moshe paskined like the other people. And that's why the pasuk says Vayetze, because he came out of Moshe's Bezdin Chayiv. Vayinotzu b'machaneh. And they quarreled, they fought about the machaneh, about this person pitching his tent in Machaneh Don. Ben HaYisraelis, who was fighting, the son of the Jewish woman, the Ish HaYisraeli, and another Jewish man. And when he came out of Moshe's Bezdin guilty, Vayikoy ben Oisha Yisraelis as Hashem, and the son of the Jewish woman pronounced the Shem Hashem that he heard in Sinai, Vayikalel, and he cursed the name of Hashem, Vayaviu Oisrael Moshe, and they brought him to Moshe to find out what's the din with such a person who curses Hashem, Vishem Imoy, the name of this person's mother was Shloimis Bas Divri Lamatei Don, Shloimis, the daughter of Divri from Shevet Don. Rashi tells us that the Torah is praising Klal Yisrael by telling us who this Isha who was Mezaneh with the mystery was, because it is saying that she was the only one who was Mezaneh among Klal Yisrael. Rashi also tells us that her name was not really Shloimis Bas Divri, but rather this was her nickname based on what she used to do. Shloimis, she used to say Shalom Alecha to everybody. Bas Divri, she was a Dabronis, a chatterbox. And because she used to talk so much, that's why the Mitzri took note of her and was Mezaneh with her. And the reason why the Pasuk says who she was, Shloimis, who her father was, Bas Divri, and which Shevet she was from Shevet Dun, that is because one who does an Avera brings disgrace upon himself, upon his father, and upon his Shevet. But if somebody does a good act, then he brings praise upon himself, upon his father, and upon his Shevet. And that's why, by Ohaliyav ben Achisamach from Shevet Dun, who built the Mishkan, the Torah says Ohaliyav, who his father was Achisamach, and which Shevet he was from Shevet Dun. Vayanichu b'mishmor, and they placed him in jail, lifresh lohem api Hashem, to find out from Hashem what the din is by somebody who is mekalel Hashem. Rashi tells us that the mekalel, the one who cursed Hashem, was not placed in the same jail as the mekoshesh etzim, the one who gathered wood on Shabbos and was mekalel Shabbos, even though they occurred at the same time. The reason being that the one who was Mekoshesh Eitzim, Moshe knew that he was Chayev Misa. The Pasuk says, Mechalaleha Moshumas, one who desecrates the Shabbos is Chayev Misa. So we know that he is Chayev Misa. The only question was which Misa he was Chayev. Since we say Stam Misa is Bechenek, when the Torah does not specify which Misa, we say it's strangulation, so maybe he's Chayev Chenek. Or maybe, since the Torah compares one who is Mechal Shabbos to one who is Oved Avodah Zarah, so since Oved Avodah Zarah, one who worships Avodah Zarah, is Beskilo with stoning, so maybe this person should get stoning. They weren't sure if he's Chayev Chenek or Chayev Skilo. But concerning the Mekalel, they did not know if he was Chayev Misa at all. And therefore they did not want to place him together with a person who was definitely Chayev Misa in order that he should not be in Sar and think for sure he is going to die. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Hoytzeis ha-makalel, take out the one who cursed Hashem, el michus la-machaneh, outside the camp, v'samechu kol ha-shoyim mesideim al-roshoy, and let all the ones who heard, the Edim, place their hands on the makalel's head. And since the Pasuk says, Kol HaShoimim, we include also the Dayanim, the judges. So the judges and the Edim place their hands on the Mekalel's head and they say, you are the cause for your own death. We are not responsible for killing you. V'rogmu oisei kol ha'edo, and the whole assembly will stone him. Rashi tells us that all of Klal Yisrael did not stone one person, but rather, since there is a klal of shluchai shel adam kemoisei, a person's messenger is like he himself did it. So here, the ones who stoned him were shluchim, were messengers for all of Klal Yisrael, and it is as if all of Klal Yisrael stoned this person. Vel b'nei Yisrael tadaber lemer, and to the b'nei Yisrael you shall say, saying, Ish ish ki kalal alekov, any man that will curse Hashem, v'nosa chetoy, he will bear his sin, he will be chayv kares. This pasuk is referring to a case where there were witnesses, edim, that saw him curse Hashem, but there was no hastro, there was no warning, therefore he is chayv kares. But, v'noikiv shem Hashem moisumas, one who curses the name of Hashem with edim and hastro, then he is chayv misas bezdin, rogoim Yirgamu Voi Kol Ha'eda, the whole assembly will stone him. Kager Kor Ezroch, the ger is like the native. V'nak V'Shem Yumas, when he curses Hashem, he will die. V'ish Kiyake Kol Nevesh Odom Mois Yumas, and a person who will kill another person will be Chayev Misa. Chizkuni explains the connection between Mekalel Hashem, one who curses Hashem, and one who kills another person. And he says both of these averis can stem from a quarrel where two people are fighting with each other. They can either be over an avera where one will curse Hashem because of the fight and be chayev misa because of that, or he might be chayev misa because he might kill the other person. And that is the connection between the two parshas. Umake nefesh behemah yishalmeno, one who kills another person's animal must pay, nefesh tachas nefesh, a life for a life, which means he must pay the worth of this animal to the person who owned it. Ve'ish ki yiten mum ba'amisei, and a person who will injure his friend, kasher osa, what he did, ken yiyosaloi, so will be done to him. Shever tachas shever, a break for a break, ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, shein tachas shein, a tooth for a tooth, kasher yiten mum ba'odom, just like he caused an injury in the other person, Kein Yinasen Boy, so he must give to him. Since the pasuk says Yinasen, we learn out that when it says Shever Tachas Shever, Ayin Tachas Ayin, and Shein Tachas Shein, it does not mean that you break his arm and you knock out his eye because he knocked out the other person's eye, but rather Kein Yinasen Boy, he must give money. We look at the injured party as if he is a slave, and we evaluate him. And we say, how much was this person worth as a slave before he was injured? And how much less is he worth now that he is injured? The difference must be given from the mazik to the injured party. The words Kein Yinasen Boy means Davar Hanitein Miyad Liyad, something that can be given over from one person to another, which means money. Umake Behemi Shalmeno, one who hits another person's animal and injures it must pay. Umake Odom Yumas, and a person who hits another person will be put to death. And this is referring to one who hits his parents, because one who hits another person is not Chayiv Misa, only if he kills another person. But by Make Aviv Imoy, the halacha is more chomer, and even by hitting one's parents, he is Chayiv Misa. And the Torah compares Make Aviv Imoy to Make Behemo. Just like Make Behemo, where he hits another person's animal, he is only chayiv if he injures the other person's animal, so too, by Make Aviv Imoy, he is only chayiv if he makes a chabura, a bruise. And just like by Make Behemo, he is only chayiv if the animal is alive, so too, by Make Aviv Imoy, he is only chayiv if he hits his parents when they are alive. As opposed to Mekalel Aviv Imoy, where one curses his parents, he is chayiv even after they die, but by Make Aviv Imoy, he is only chayiv when they are alive. Mishpat Echad, one law, Yia Lachem, shall be to you. Kager Ka Ezroch Yia, the ger should be like the native. Ki Ani Hashem Alekechem, because I am Hashem, your God. I am all of your gods, the God of the Ezroch, of the native, and also the God of the ger. Vayidaber Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe spoke this law to the Bnei Yisrael. Vayotziu es hamakalel el michus lamachne, and they took the one who cursed Hashem outside the machne. Vayirgamu oisei oven, and they pelted him with stones. Uvnei Yisrael osu kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, and the Bnei Yisrael did all the laws of stoning like Hashem commanded Moshe. And these laws are that they must push the person off a high place, then stone him, and afterwards hang him. All these halachas were done to the Mekalel by the Bnei Yisrael. One has to understand why the Mekalel was Chayiv Misa. Because we see that the Isser and the Asra that the Torah states by one who is Mekalel as Hashem was not stated until after the Mekalel was over his Avera. Because as we saw in the Pasuk, Moshe did not know what to do with this Mekalel. And first afterwards, Hashem said that a person who is Mekalel as Hashem is Chayiv Skila. So what type of Asra, what type of warning did they give this Mekalel? Typically, one must say, if you do this and this Avera, you are Chayiv Misa. They were not able to say this because they did not know he was a Chayiv Misa. So how can they be Mechayiv Misa without a proper Hasra? The Mefarshim ask a similar kasha in Parsha Shmini by the death of Nadav Aviu. Some Mefarshim learned that Nadav Aviu were Chayiv Misa because of Shtuya Yayin. They entered the Mishkan while being intoxicated with wine. The question arises that how can they be Mechayiv Misa because of Shtuya Yayin if the Azara, the warning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to drink wine and enter the Mishkan, was only stated after their death? So too over here, we can ask the same question. Why should the Mekalel be Chayiv Misa if the Azara, the warning, was only stated after he did the Maisa Avera? Ayin b'mefarshim. Zogt Rashi Pasuk Yud, Vayetze ben Ish Yisraelis, Mehechon Yotzo, where did he go out from? Rabbi Levi Omer, Me'olama Yotzo. Rabbi Levi says that he took himself out of the world. By being Mekalis Hashem, he was Chayiv Misa, and he was killed. He was removed from the world. Rabbi Brachya Omer, Rabbi Brachya says, Miparsha Shelamala Yotzo, he took himself out and excluded himself from the previous parasha of the Lechem upon him. Ligleg Va'omar, he scoffed and said, B'yom HaShabbos Yachenu, the Pasuk says that you shall place the bread on the Shulchan on Shabbos, Derech HaMelech Lechol Paschama B'chol Yoim. It is the way of the king to eat warm bread that is fresh, that is one day old. Shema Pas Tzoynenes Shel Tishu Yomim B'tmiya. Can the Torah be saying that you shall place on the Shulchan bread that is 9 days old and cold? Because since the bread was baked on Friday and was placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos and remained there until the following Shabbos, it comes out that 9 day old bread was sitting on the Shulchan. On this, the Mekalel was scoffing and laughing at the Lechem upon him. Umasnisa Amra, and in the Braisa we have a third pshat. Mi bezdino shel Moshe yotzei mechuyev. He came out of the Bezdin of Moshe guilty. He came to pitch his tent in the middle of Shevet Dan. Amrulai, they said to him, Mativach Lakan, what are you doing here? Amrulahem, he said to them, Mibnei Dan Oni, I am from Shevet Dan, since my mother is Shlemis Bas Divri from Shevet Dan. Amrulai, they said to him, Ish al digloi ba'oisis leves avoisam ksiv. The Pasuk says concerning the machanois, concerning the camps, that we go, each person according to his flag, according to the signs of his father's house. We only go according to the father's Shevet, not the mother Shevet, and since your father is a guy, you do not belong here. Nichlas lebezdin shel Moshe. He entered into the bezdin of Moshe to find out the halacha. V'yatzah mechuyev, and he came out guilty. Moshe said that he was wrong. Omad v'gidev, he stood up and cursed Hashem. Those are the three pshatim when the pasuk says vayetze. Ben Ish Mitzri, Hu Ha Mitzri Shehargoi Moshe. This is the Mitzri who Moshe killed, and this was the father of this person. B'serach B'nei Yisrael, in the midst of the B'nei Yisrael, Melamishin is Gair. This teaches us that this person was Megair, he became a Ger. Vayinotsu Bamachane, and they fought Bamachane, which means Al Iskea Machane. They fought concerning the Machane, concerning this person pitching his tent in Machane Don. Ish HaYisraeli, Ze Shekinegdoi Shemichaboy Mata Aholoi. The Israeli was the person that rebelled and did not allow him to pitch his tent in Machane Don. That was the Ish HaYisraeli.
Zokt Rashi Vayikov Kitagume, like Targum says, Uforesh, and he pronounced. Shenikev Shem HaMiyuchad, he pronounced the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Vigidev, and cursed it. Vuhu Shem HaMafurish, Sheshom HaMisinai. This is the name of Hashem that he heard at Har Sinai. Vishem Imoy, and the name of his mother was Shloimis, the daughter of Divri. Shvachon Shel Yisrael, Shepirsim HaKos of Lazu. The Torah is telling us the Shvach, the praise of Klal Yisrael, by the fact that the Torah says who this woman was. Loimar, to say, Shehilavada Hoysay Zoyna. She was the only Zoyna in Klal Yisrael. Shloimis, they called her Shloimis, Dahava Pitvita, because she used to chat. Shalom Alecha, Shalom Alecha, peace to you, peace to you. Shalom Aleichoin, peace to all of you. Mifat Fetes Bidvarim. She would chat with words, She'eles B'Sholom HaKoril, asking everybody how they were doing. Bas Divri, why was she called the daughter of Divri? Dabronos Haisa, because she was a chatterbox. Midaberes Im Kol Odom, speaking with all people. Leficha Kilkula, therefore, that brought about her downfall. The Mitzri took note of her because she was constantly talking. Lamate Don from Shevet Don, Magid, the Pasuk is telling us, Sheharosha Gurm Gnai Loi, Gnai Laoviv, Gnai Lashiftai. A Rosha causes a disgrace to himself, a disgrace to his father, and a disgrace to his Shevet. That's why the Pasuk says, Shloimis, the daughter of Divri, from Shevet Don. Kiyotzibai, similarly we find Aliyah ben Achisamach, Aliyah, the son of Achisamach, Lamate Dun from Shevet Dun. There the Pasuk is saying, Shvachloi, a praise to him, Shvachloaviv, a praise to his father, Shvachloshiftai, a praise to his Shevet. Since he was the one who built the Mishkan, therefore it is a Shvach to Aliyah, a Shvach to his father Achisamach, a Shvach to his Shevet Dun. Vayanicheu b'mishmar, and they placed him in jail, levadai alone. V'lohinichai mekoshish imoi, and they did not place the mekoshish etzim with him. Sheshneim hayu b'perek echon, because both of them were at the same time. V'yoydim hayu sham mekoshish b'mitza. They knew that the mekoshish etzim was chayiv misa, shenema, because the pasuk says, mechal aleha meisumas. One who desecrates the Shabbos is chayiv misa. Aval, but, loy pirish lohem be'ezim misa. They weren't sure which misa he was chayiv. Was it chenek or skila? Lekach nemar, that's why the pasuk says ki lo purish maya yosaloi. It was not clear what to do with him. They knew he was chayiv misa, but they weren't sure if it was skila or chenek. Avo b'makalel, but over here by the makalel, who oimer, the pasuk says lifroish lohem. The pasuk says to specify to them what should be done. Period. Shelo hayu yoidim im chayiv misa im lav. They did not know if the makalel was chayiv misa at all. Therefore, the pasuk does not say Maya Yosef, but rather Lifrosh Lahem, to tell them what shall be done. And the pasuk says that all the shoimim should make smicha on the head of the makalel. Shoimim elu ha'edim, these are the witnesses. Kol ha'shoimim, the extra word kol. Lahavi es ha'dayonim, this is coming to include that the judges should also do smicha on the makalel. Es yideyem, they place their hands on the head of the makalel. Oimim loy, and they say to him, Damcha b'roishcha, your blood is on your own head. Ve'einanu nenoshim b'misasecha, and we are not punished because of your misa. She'ata garamtelecha, you caused it by yourself. The Mefarshim discuss, why is it that specifically by this Avera of the Makalel do we find that the Edim and the Dayanim must place their hands on the Makalel and say, Damcha b'roishcha, it is your fault? Why don't we find this by other Averas? One teretz is that the Makalel did not do a Maisa. He did not do any action. All he did was spoke. He spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Maisa Dibur did not have an effect on anybody, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not get embarrassed if somebody curses his name, as opposed to the Makalel Es Aviv Imoy, a person who curses his parents, although over there it is also only an act of Dibur, of speaking. Over there, the speech has an effect on somebody else, because his parents are embarrassed. So over there, it makes sense that he's Mechuyev Misa. But I might think over here, where the Maisa of the Makalel was not an actual Maisa, but only a Dibur, and this Dibur did not have an effect on anybody, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not become embarrassed, so you might think he would not be Mechuyev Misa, and therefore, the person who kills him, the Dayonim and the Edim, would be Chayev and responsible for his death. Therefore, they place their hands on the head of the Makalel and tell him, Damcha b'roishcha, your blood is upon your own head. You are the cause for your own Misa, even though your Avera was just through an act of Dibur. Another terrorist that is said is because when the Edim have to testify against this Makalel, they repeat the name of Hashem and they curse the name of Hashem, repeating what the Makalel said. And the Dayanim hear this. Therefore, there is an extra Avera that is done by the Edim by saying the Shem Hashem and cursing it, and the Dayanim by hearing it. On that, they lean their hands on the head of the Makalel and they tell him, Damcha b'roishcha, this Avera that occurred by the testimony is also upon you. So Rashi kolo Eda, the whole Eda will stone him. Rashi tells us it does not mean that everybody pelted him with stones, but rather b'maimed kolo Eda, it was in the presence of the whole Eda. Mikan sheshluchay shel adam kemoisei. From here we learn out that a shliach, a messenger of a person, is like the person himself. This Rashi seems to be a contradiction, because Rashi seems to be saying two separate points. In the beginning he says, Kola Eda, the reason why the pasuk says the whole Eda is because it was in the presence of the whole Eda. B'maimed Kola Eda. Then he seems to be saying a separate reason. Even if the whole Eda was not there, it is considered as if the whole Eda stoned him because of Shluchai Shel Adam Kamoisai. A shliach, a messenger of a person, is like the person himself. And the one that actually stoned the Makalel is a messenger of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it is as if the whole Klal Yisrael stoned this person. So we do not need Kolo Eda to stand there. So which way is it? Is it Kolo Eda because the whole Eda was there, or because of Shluchai Shel Adam Kamoisai? Based on this question, in Sefer Yosef Halel, he has a different girsa in Rashi, adding a Dover Acher to the middle of the Rashi. And this is the way the Rashi reads. Kolo Eda, Rashi tells us it does not mean that everybody stoned him, but rather b'maimed kolo Eda. The whole Eda was present at that time, and that's why it says kolo Eda. Dover Acher, another pshat is that the whole Eda was not there. And the reason why it says kolo Eda is because although only a few people stoned him, it is considered as if the whole Eda stoned him because these few people that did the stoning were the shluchim of Klal Yisrael, and shliach shel adam kimoisai. A shliach of a person is like the person itself, and it is as if the whole Klal Yisrael stoned this Mekalel. Zok Rashi, v'nosa chetoi, he will bear his sin. B'kores, he will be chayiv kores. K'she'en asro, when there is no warning. V'noikev shem Hashem, if he curses the shem Hashem, einu chayiv ashi yafarish es Hashem. He's only chayiv unless he curses the shem Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei, v'loi ha'makal b'kinoi, and not one who curses the other names of Hashem. V'noikev, what does the word v'noikev mean? Loshen klolo, it means to curse. K'moi, like the Pasuk says by Bilam, mo ekoiv, how can I curse Klal Yisrael? And although in Pasuk Yud Aleph, on the word Vayikov, Rashi says it means uforish, to pronounce, and over here he teaches Vinoikev, to curse, that is because in Pasuk Yud Aleph it says two words, Vayikov and Vayikalo. So Vayikov means to pronounce the name of Hashem. Vayikalo means to curse the name of Hashem. But over here where it says Vinoikev and it does not say anything else, Rashi teaches it to mean to curse. Zok Rashi ve'ishkiyake, a person who will kill another person will be chayev misa, lefi shenemar, since it says in the Pasuk, in Parashas Mishpatim, make ish v'meis moisumas, one who hits another person and kills him, is to be put to death, ainli ela shahoragis o'ish. Since the Pasuk says over there, make ish, I might think only one who kills a man, isha, one who kills a woman, v'katan, or one who kills a minor. How do we know? Minayin. How do we know that he is chayiv misa? Tamad loymar. Therefore, the pasuk says over here, v'ish ki yake es kol nefesh adam. A person who kills any person, even an isha, even a katan, is still chayiv misa. Zok Rashi, if one injures another person, ken yinasim boy, so will you give to him. Pirshu Rabbi Seinu, our Rabbanim explained, she'eno nisinas mum mamish. It does not mean that we injure the person in return. Ela tashlume mamon, it means that the mazik must pay money. Shaman oisa ki evan, we evaluate the nizik, the one who was injured, like a slave. And we evaluate him and look at him and see how much he was worth to be sold as a slave before the injury and how much less he is worth to be sold as a slave after the injury. And that difference, the mazik pays the nizik. Lekach ksiv boy, that's why the pasuk writes, loshen nesina, an expression of giving, ken yinosim boy, because it is referring to mamon, davar hanitein miyad liyad, something that can be given from hand to hand, which is money. Zok Rashi, umake behemi shalmeno, one who hits another person's animal shall pay. Lamala, earlier in Pasuk Yud Ches, Tiber, the Pasuk is speaking about behoirig behemo, one who kills another person's animal. That's why it says nefesh behemo, the soul of the animal. But over here, v'kan, where it does not say nefesh behemo, Tiber ba'oise b'chabura, it is referring to one who injures another person's animal. Umake odom yumos, one who hits another person shall be put to death. Afilu lehargoi, even though he did not kill this other person. Ela osa b'chaburo, all he did was cause and place a bruise in that person. Shleinema kan nefesh, over here it does not say nefesh like it says earlier in the pasuk v'ish ki yake es kol nefesh odom, but rather all it says is make odom yumos. It does not say nefesh, so we are not talking about one who kills somebody, but rather one who just makes a chabura in the other person. The pasuk is talking about one who makes a chabura in his father or mother and is chayev misa for that chabura. Ubola kishoy lemakes behema. The pasuk is coming to compare make ovi v'imoy to one who hits his animal. Ma make behema mechayim, just like one who hits his animal. He is only chayev if the animal is alive. Af make ovi v'imoy mechayim. One who hits his parents is only chayev if they are alive. Prat lemake la'achamisa. This is coming to exclude one who hits his parents after they died. Lefisha matzinu shemakal la'achamisa chayev. Since we find that one who curses his parents after they die is also chayev. Therefore, the pasuk has to say, "Bimake," by one who hits his parents, "Shepoter," that he is poter if he hits them after they died. Uma bebehema bechavolo, just like by an animal, it is only if he makes a chavolo, an injury, shim ein chavolo ein tashlumen, without an injury, there is no payment. Af make ove v'imoy. So too, one who hits his parents, ein chayev atchiyasa behem chabura. He is not chayev unless he bruises them. Zok Rashi, ani Hashem elokeichem, I am Hashem, your God, elokeichem in the plural. Elokei kulchem, I am all of your gods. Kishem shani miyachid shmi aleichem, just like I am miyachid my name. I associate and specify my name. Just for you, kach ani miyachid shmi al hagerim. So too, I am miyachid, and I associate and specify my name on the gerim. Uvnei Yisrael also, and the Yidden did, kol ha-mitzvah ha-amur b'skila b'makam acher. They did all the mitzvah, the whole mitzvah that is stated by Skila in another place. What are the mitzvahs of Skila? Dechiyah, pushing the person off a high place, regima, stoning, utalia, and hanging the person. I would just like to end off the parsha with an interesting pshat from the Maskil Adavin. The Mizrahi asks, based on what Rashi says earlier in Pasuk Yud Beis, that although the Mekoshish and the Mekalil occurred at the same time, they were not placed in the same jail. And he asked, how can we say that the Mekoshish and the Mekalil occurred at the same time? Obviously, the Mekoshish occurred during the first year that the Yidden were in the Midbar, and the Mekalil occurred during the second year. And that is because, concerning the Mekoshish Eitzim, Rashi tells us in Parashat Shlach, Begnusan Shel Yisrael Dibar HaKosov, the Pasuk is saying something degrading against Klal Yisrael, that they kept Shabbos Rishona, the first Shabbos, Uvishnia, and on the second Shabbos, Bozev V'chillo, this person came and desecrated the Shabbos. So we see from that Rashi, that the Mekoshish Eitzim obviously happened during the first year that they were in the Midbar, because it happened on Shabbos Shnia. But the Mekalel obviously happened during the second year that they were in the Midbar, because the Mekalel was arguing about pitching his tent in Machane Dan. And we know that the whole din of Machanos, the whole din about where each person should stay, only occurred after Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year, after the Mishkan was erected, and there was a Machane Shechina, which is the area in the Azara, and surrounding that was the Machane Levia, and surrounding that was the Machane Yisrael. So in that Machane Yisrael, they set up where each Shevet should be. And that took place in the second year. So if he was arguing about where to pitch his tent, it had to be during the second year. A second raya that we have that it took place during the second year is because the Mekalel was laughing about the Lechem Aponim. And the Lechem Aponim was not placed on the Shulchan until after the Shulchan and the whole Mishkan was erected, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. So if he was laughing about the Lechem Aponim, the Mekalel must have taken place during the second year. So how can Rashi say that they both occurred at the same time if the Mekoshesh had to be during the first year and the Mekalel had to have occurred during the second year? Because of this kasha, the Mizrahi learns that both of these events occurred during the first year. The Mekoshesh, like we explained earlier, took place during the first year, and even the Mekalel, which we said earlier, took place during the second year, we are saying now that it occurred during the first year. Although we had two rayas that the Mekalel took place during the second year, Mizrahi answers both rayas. He says that concerning the raya that we said that the Lechem Aponim took place during the second year, and if the Mekalel was laughing at the Lechem Aponim, it must have been during the second year. He answers that although the Lechem Aponim was placed on the Shulchan during the second year, the Tzivoy, the commandment to place the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan, took place during the first year, and the Mekalel was laughing at this Tzivoy. Once he heard this commandment, he was already laughing at this commandment and making fun of it. So this is possible to take place during the first year. And concerning the fact that the Machanos were only set up during the second year, so if he was arguing about the Machanos, it had to take place in the second year. Mizrahi says that although the Tzivui of the Machanos were in the second year, but Klal Yisrael already camped each one according to his Shevet by themselves during the first year. And therefore we can say that he was fighting about pitching his tent in Machane Dan even during the first year. Maskil David asks many questions according to the way the Mizrahi learns. First of all, he wants to understand the Rashi in Parashat Shlach that says that the Yidden kept Shabbos Rishayna, Uvishniyah, and during the second Shabbos, Bozev Echillah, this person was Mechal Shabbos. What does it mean, Shabbos Rishayna and Shabbos Shniyah? If we will learn that Shabbos Rishayna means the first Shabbos after Mara, because in Mara they heard the mitzvah of Shabbos for the first time, and the first Shabbos after Mara, they kept the Shabbos. But the second Shabbos after Mara, this person was Mechal Shabbos, that means that this took place before Matan Torah. This cannot be, because Rashi says that they knew the Mekoshesh Eitzim was Chayav Misa, because they knew the Pasuk of Mechalel Mos Yumas. This Pasuk of Mechalel Mos Yumas was said after Matan Torah. So how can they know this Pasuk if we are talking about an event that took place before Matan Torah? And if you will say that the first Shabbos and the second Shabbos that we are referring to is after Matan Torah, the first Shabbos after Matan Torah they kept, and the second Shabbos, Bozeh, this person came and was Mechal Shabbos, this cannot be, because it says that they brought the Mekoshesh before Moshe and Aharon. How is it possible to bring the Mekoshesh before Moshe if at that time he was in Shemayim speaking to Hashem? Moshe went up to Har Sinai after Matan Torah on Zion Sivan and remained there until Shavasar Batamas. So how can we say that the second week after Matan Torah, the Mekoshesh was brought before Moshe? Maskel David asks a second question. Why does Rashi say that it was a gnai for Klal Yisrael? Because this person was Mechal Shabbos. On the second Shabbos, it was only one person who was Mechal Shabbos. Why is that considered a gnai? Just like Rashi says over here, that it is a shvach, a praise to Klal Yisrael, that only one woman, Shlomis Bas Divri, was a zayna, so too, we should say it's a shvach for Klal Yisrael that only one person was Mechal Shabbos. Maskel David asks a third question on this Mizrahi, based on the Medrash that says that the person who was Mekoshesh Eitzim was Slavchad, and Slavchad L'Shem Shemayim Nischavna. Slavchad had intentions L'Shem Shemayim, and that's why he was Mechal Shabbos. After the story of the Meraglim, where the Yidden were decreed upon not to enter Eretz Yisrael, Slavchad was afraid that the Yidden would start doing Averis. They would think that since we're not going into Eretz Yisrael anyway, why do we have to keep the mitzvahs? Therefore, he sacrificed himself and was Mechal Shabbos on purpose in order that Klal Yisrael will see that he will be killed, and this way they will be afraid and they won't do Averis. So he did it L'Shem Shemayim. From the fact that we see that the Maisa of Slavchad, the Mekoshesh Eitzim, took place after the Maisa Meraglim, it's a raya that it took place during the second year, not like the Mizrahi that wants to learn that everything took place during the first year. And Maskel David learns that everything really took place during the second year. The Mekalel took place during the second year, like we had raya earlier, and even the Mekoshesh took place during the second year after the story of the Meraglim. And although the Lashon by the Mekoshesh Eitzim is that they kept Shabbos Rishona, Uvishniya Bozeh V'Chilla, Maskel David says that we must read it like this. They kept Shabbos Barishona. They kept the Shabbos of the first year that they were in the Midbar. But Uvishniya, the Shabbos is during the second year after the Maisa of the Meraglim, where the Bnei Yisrael thought that they do not have to keep mitzvahs anymore because they are not going into Eretz Yisrael, they did not keep the mitzvahs, and they did not keep Shabbos. Therefore, Slavchad came to save them and was Mechal Shabbos to show them that they will be punished if they do not keep Shabbos. And now we can understand very well, according to the Maskel of David, why it is not considered a shvach that only Slavchad was Mechal Shabbos. Because everybody was Mechal Shabbos. All of Klal Yisrael were thinking that they do not have to keep mitzvahs after the Maisa of the Meraglim. It was only Slavchad who was Mechal Shabbos in order to take the sacrifice for Klal Yisrael and show them that they would be punished. So we cannot compare Slavchad to Shlomis Bas Divri. Shlomis Bas Divri, it was a shvach that she was the only zayna. But Slavchad was not the only one who was mechalel. He was just the only one that was going to be killed to take the sacrifice for Klal Yisrael. And according to the Maskel of David, it's very good, the Lashon of the Pasuk in Parsha Shlach. The Pasuk says, Vayihu v'nei Yisrael ba'midbar, and the b'nei Yisrael were in the midbar, Vayimtzu ish mekoshesh etzim, when they found a person gathering wood. Why does the Pasuk have to say, Vayihu v'nei Yisrael ba'midbar? Obviously they were in the midbar. Where else would they be at that point? But according to the Maskel of David, it's very good. Vayihu v'nei Yisrael ba'midbar. And it was when the b'nei Yisrael saw, after the Maisa Meraglim, that they were to stay in the midbar, and they were not going into Eretz Yisrael. Then, Vayimtzu ish mekoshesh etzim, Slavchad, who saw that the Yidden were starting to do Averis, went and was mekoshesh etzim. So according to this, it's very good, the Lashon of the Pasuk. And although, according to the Maskel of David, the Lashon of that they kept Shabbos Rishona uvishniya bozeh v'chilla is not so good, because according to the Maskel of David, you have to teach it as if it says that they kept Shabbos Barishona, they kept the Shabbos of the first year, uvishniya, and the Shabbos of the second year they did not keep. So the Lashon is not so good. Maskel of David says, Nechalon lispoil doichik haloshin. I'd rather deal with the doichik in the language, for like doichik ha'inyan, and not to deal with the doichik of the inyan, the kashis, which the Mizrahi has to deal with according to his pshat.